Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning and bless the Lord, oh my soul. It is good to be back with you on another Friday, telling you that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. That's according to Philemon 6, as you heard me say this so many times, that the communication today of our faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing, or either as we know Him as the Hebrew term, Yeshua. It is so good to be back with you again, and God bless you for all of those who hear us and listen to us, and our shout is out to you this morning. We want to tell you that we are gracious, and we are grateful to know that these podcasts are being a blessing to you as you listen to us, as we share with you out of the testimonies and out of the written word of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Writ, excuse, by the Holy Ghost, the Word of God and the things that have been imparted to us through the writers of old. All right, that's been such a great year, and we're almost out of 2014. Looked like we just entered in, and now it looks like we're almost headed out. I think we've got somewhat like 4 months left to finish out the race or the run with this year, and it has been a glorious year. It's been a glorious time. It's been great. From January to this moment, on this 29th day of August, I'm just so excited about what the Lord has done for us in these last months, and what the Lord is doing for us in the year to come. We're preparing to do some things that are a lot different according to this podcast and also our ministry. Had a glorious time in Northern Alabama just last month, and everything was so grand. The Lord showed up in the Wiregrass area, and He ministered through me to His people as never before. I was so excited about what He did, and I've been sharing with people through in and out. So many good things happened there. We were able to be with one of the young preachers that who started out through our ministry in the area of broadcast and the revival there with a pastor by the name of Kenneth Robinson. You've heard him on the podcast and how glorious the Lord moved in those services. We will never forget this. So many great testimonies, so many letters, and so many things that are coming out of that. I'm just still amazed at all of the testimonies that are coming I'm still amazed at all of the good reports that we are hearing. And, I mean, the Lord really, he showed himself strong in the Wiregrass area during the time that we were there. And in the days to come, maybe I'll be able to share some of the, we haven't edited the broadcast, the tapings and the CDs, we'll be able to share some of the live services that took place. Matter of fact, I just want to testify. I got to testify. Yeah, there was one lady, one beautiful lady in particular that was in the service while we were ministering, and we were dealing with the things of basically about the cares of life throughout the church, and I shared a story about a parent who was a storekeeper, and I really didn't want to go into the story about the parrot, but now that I've started, I guess I'll finish it. And the parrot was in a retail store, and there were people who would come in and out. So once this guy would come into the retail store, he would always come to the parrot, and actually the parrot started talking. So one day the parrot came. He came to the parrot. The parrot said to him, "You sure are ugly." And the man looked at him and he laughed at first because he just thought that the parrot was talking and just saying stuff that he'd heard. But it looked like, so every time the man would come in the store, he would come to the parrot, and the parrot would say, "Rawr, you sure are ugly." And so the man became disgruntled about it, and he became disgruntled. He went to the storekeeper and said that the parrot was being belligerent and ugly to him. So the storekeeper recommended the parrot and told him the parrot to stop doing that. And the storekeeper told the man that he would do it again. So the man made sure the next time he came to the store, he went straight to the parrot. And the parrot came once again and said, "Rock, you sure are ugly." So this time the guy went back to the parrot, storekeeper, and told him, said, "Look, that parrot did it again." So this time the storekeeper was really upset. So he grabbed the parrot, he chastised the parrot, plucked his feathers, I mean, just gave him a royal lashing, and the parrot was back in the cave. So, okay, the man comes back to this retail store again. He goes straight to the parrot, and the parrot looks at him. He looks at the parrot. The parrot looks down the aisle. The parrot looks across, around, to see if anybody was around. And he looked at that guy again, and he said these words. He said, "Rawr, you already know." So, you know, sometimes when we know that we are ugly, we already know that we are. And that's what we began to talk about in the service. Sometimes we know that we... Sometimes we know that we are ugly. Sometimes we know that we've done things that are not right. Sometimes we know that we've been very disobedient and rebellious to the things of God. And while we were in that service, we began to minister along those lines. There was a lady who had a stroke in the service, and right there in the middle of the service, and as we began to pray and believe God, while we were ministering, got together, and believe it or not, the Lord delivered. Well, you already know. Well, some of you are probably wondering what happened. The Lord healed that lady right there in the service. She was made free. She was made whole right there in the service. And that was the beginning that, this is the second night into the meeting, and that was the beginning of many miracles during the rest of that week to come. So many miracles took place after that. And we are excited about that because the Lord used us in a mighty way to demonstrate his love and his power to his people. And so I say that to share with you today that we had already been planning to do some things, and there in Dothan, Alabama, God began to show us the blueprint for what he had ordered us to do. And I'm going to take out some time today on the podcast and just share with you some of the events that are taking place with the Days of Harvest Ministries. Now, we're changing the name. We've changed the name to the Days of Harvest, and we're going to begin to share with you all of, as we move forward the name changes. We changed the name. You hear when we do the broadcast on the introduction, Word Outreach International, which is a part of the Days of Harvest Ministries, which is the evangelistic arm of the Days of Harvest. Days of Harvest Ministries started in that very city that we had this last meeting in, Dothan, Alabama, and the Lord used us mightily. And this ministry started back there in 1986, as a matter of fact, the 23rd of June, 1986. And we've been seeing signs, wonders, miracles, great things happening for us from the very existence of the onset, of the very day that the ministry was initially and officially incorporated to do business as ministry in the state of Alabama, in the city of Dothan. And so what we're doing now, we're dealing with the legislatures and the people of that particular area. We're changing the name of the ministry, and the new name that we're approaching now has been, we believe, given to us by the divine order, and also we believe the clearance of our assignment concerning the last days, and we're changing the name to His Report International. So, because we prayed and sought the Lord about it, we know that these still are the Days of Harvest, but we will be moving to a new name, and also we will be moving. As the year progresses, we're working and moving to another location where we can do our outreach ministry as the Lord has directed us. We're moving into another area. We've been working on that for several months. We're working on finding the ideal location for what God has assigned us to do. We're looking for the right building so that we can house the equipment that we're using, because what we're getting ready to do by the grace of God and the faith of God is we're preparing to launch not just the outreach ministry in terms of dealing with our evangelistic portion through physical means in terms of meeting in places of buildings, but the Lord has also instructed us to move forward in our media outreach. So with that in mind, we've been sharing this with people who follow us and people who trust what God has done in our ministry up to this point. So we're asking you to be in prayer with us, and to if God is leading you to do anything in the area of helping us to bring this portion of the ministry and vision to pass, we know that this is a mandate for us to reach out to America and around the world to minister the things and impart the gifts and the callings that God has put in our lives to bring about and to finish our assignment that we believe that God has so graciously given us to do in the earth. And with that being said, we want to reach out to you today and just let you know that if God is touching your heart to be a support to us in any type of way, whether it's through your prayers, or we would love to receive contributions if that the Lord leads you to give us gifts and to bless us and to help us to move forward in what we believe is our season and assignment for this new time and moment that the Lord has placed us in concerning the name change of the ministry as well as the direction in which we believe by faith that he's leading us to go into. And if you'd like to make any contributions, you can send your contributions to 1202 Pinkerton, P-I-N-K-E-R-T-O-N, P-I-N-K-E-R-T-O-N, Lane, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Texas, 75002. That is, again, you can give it to, at this point, the Days of Harvest, Days of Harvest Ministries, 1202 Pinkerton, as in the Armored Guards, Pinkerton, P-I-N-K-E-R-T-O-N, Lane, Allen, Texas, 75002. And we would appreciate if anything that God would lay on your heart to be a blessing to us, we would highly appreciate it. And as we move forward to progress the gospel and to do the things that we know that God has imparted to us and given us the responsibility of carrying out, would be greatly appreciated by this ministry. So many people have requested that we come to their cities and do in their areas. And I just want to say that I'm grateful to the Lord. Miracles took place in this last meeting that we were in, and people were just miraculously healed and made free. As a matter of fact, in one of the meetings, I think at the last day of the meeting, people were literally walking out of the building that we were in without their walkers and without who couldn't come in walking, people who were not able to stand up, literally walked out as if nothing had ever happened to them. As we ministered to one lady who was in her 70s. Matter of fact, a lot of these people were elderly. The lady who had the stroke was a lady who was in her 70s. And the Lord miraculously healed her. It was outstanding, but one of the ladies that walked out with her, without her walker, 70 years in her 70s, we tried to make sure that she understood that we, for the most part, were not trying to make it seem as if we were depleting her of the walker in terms of because it belonged to her. And I know that a lot of times in ministries, people throw away walkers and canes and say that we don't need it anymore, but we wanted to make sure that she had an understanding, and we wanted to make sure that she was delivered, and she told us that she never wanted that walker again. She didn't need it anymore, and it's because we escorted her, too. We had some ushers to help her go to the vehicle. She walked straight out there. She had no. She walked as if she was a normal person. The reason I'm saying these things is because I wanted you to know that she refused to take that thing back, and because she refused to take it back, it was on her own volition. We were not forcing her. This is what I want you to know. We were not forcing her not to have it or anything on that wise. We've never seen it before. Didn't know anything about it personally at that point. And she was totally healed. She was totally delivered. And so many things took place. As a matter of fact, while I was ministering in the middle of a message, of the message that God had given me that day, while I was ministering in the middle of that message on that particular day, after the lady had some of the people walked away without canes, without walkers, they actually put me on a telephone call for a young lady. Can you believe that while I'm ministering in the middle of my message? They requested that I pray for her. And I did. I'm just that kind of guy. I'm not traditional where I can't stop and do something. Even as it was in the days of Jesus, when so many times he was on his way to help somebody else or doing something in the midst of helping somebody, and somebody would stop him and say to him, would you help me? As a matter of fact, I can give you an illustration about that in a few minutes. But, well, anyway, you remember the time the woman that was with the issue of blood, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to minister to his daughter, Jairus' daughter, who was sick. And the woman with the issue of blood heard that he was coming that way. And the Bible says, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. You know the story about that. While he was on his way to help somebody else, glory to God, the woman who pressed her way through the crowd, and I don't have time to really go off into the scenario about, but you, if you wear red, and I'm not kidding you, in the middle of the story, you know the Bible. The scriptures plainly say to us that she pressed her way in through the crowd and touched the tallit, or the wings, the tassels on the tallit of his garment, and his prayer shawl. And the scripture says, and when she touched him, she was made whole, and he said to his disciples, who touched me, because the virtue of healing and deliverance went through his body. Well, during the time I was ministering, and while I was preaching, they put this young lady online on the phone, and she was in a hospital in Tampa, Florida, while we were ministering there in Dothan, Alabama. And as the Spirit of the Lord began to have me to minister to her, she had some type of some type of tumor in her body. It was causing her, they couldn't do anything for her. They couldn't do anything. As a matter of fact, the situation was, I think it was fibroid tumor, they couldn't do anything because of the delicacy of the time they would take to operate. They couldn't do anything for her, as from my understanding. And I'll have to get the real gist of it, but the bottom line is, we prayed the prayer of faith, and on the telephone while in the middle of the service, and the Spirit of the Lord moved so mightily across the phone line until the young lady, as we prayed the prayer of faith for her, the power of God went through the phone line and touched her, and she went to the floor in the hospital room, and her husband, who was with her, came in and saw her on the floor and began to inquire what was going on. And when she finally was able to come to herself, because of the power of God so overwhelming, the Lord gave her deliverance, and him not being totally in Christ, when he saw what had happened to her and that she explained it to him, he told her, he said, I want that too. So many things were happening. He said, I mean, you know, these are the types of things that were actually taking place as the Spirit of the Lord was moving mightily in that city. So many, many miracles took place. So many, many miracles happened as, and don't misunderstand me, people of God today. I don't follow after miracles, and I don't follow after signs as such. But I believe that that miracles and signs and wonders should follow us. They should accompany us as leaders and as believers in ministry, that wherever we go and whatever we do, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it's in the house of God, whether it's in our own workplace, wherever it may be, I believe that the power of God should follow us, as it was in the days of the apostles and the days of the men of God. The power of God should follow us. And if people really believed that, they should receive what God has given us through his mighty power. Amen. So I just wanted to give you some brief testimonies of some of the things that took place there in that fabulous and wonderful city of Dothan, Alabama. And the pastor there, Pastor Kenneth Robinson, who is the pastor of Alabama Avenue Baptist Church, and how marvelous and wonderful the Spirit of the Lord moved in those meetings. Amen. So with that in mind, I just wanted to let you know that we're pursuing to continue to carry on in that manner and upon in that light what we believe God is assigning to us. There have been so many requests, as I shared, for the ministry to be back in that area again. So I want you to be praying with us as the Lord sets the itinerary for us going back to that area again to be able to demonstrate again once more the love of God and the power and the demonstration of the Spirit as the Lord using us and our ministry to bring forth what we believe he's called us to do in the earth. Amen. So with that being said, you know, once again, if you the listener, you've heard these podcasts, and those of you who these podcasts will be heard listening to, we want to one more time give you an opportunity to aid us and help us in being a blessing continuously to the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, the Lord directed me to write a book after I'd already started about writing the book, but after the meetings there in Dothan, Alabama, the Lord impressed upon me to complete the book, and I've been talking to the publishers and the people about making the reality of the book come to pass before the year is out. By the grace of God, we're looking forward to doing that. I'll give you more updates on that in the days to come, but it was a message that the Lord gave me there, and in that message, he prompted me to very much so be encouraged to finish the book that he had put in my heart. So you continue to pray with us. Believe God with us as we minister to the body of Christ. We believe that what God has said to us, what the Spirit of the Lord has said to us, and to impart will continue to be a blessing to you and to those of you we come in contact with in the days to come. So I do covet your prayers. Our ministry covets your prayers and the people that help us. We covet your prayers to advance and to move forward and to finish every assignment that's been assigned to us by Yeshua, by the Christ himself, that we will see greater miracles and greater signs and greater wonders of the demonstration and the power of God working in and through us. As I said, once again, we're changing the name of the ministry. Formerly, you know us as Days of Harvest Ministries. We've inquired to change the name to His Report International. His Report International, HIS Report International. And that's what we believe God has put it upon our hearts to move in that vein. As again I've said, that we are not only moving in the area of meetings and meeting places, but also to enlarge our capacity to reach large numbers and groups through a new media outreach center that God has put in our hearts to form and to utilize for these, we say last days, but I would say such an urgency that's in our heart, last hours. And I will be informing you more as we move forward and press towards this venture that God has put in our hearts. And once again, if you feel the leading of the Lord to help us and to support us in the endeavor, feel free to do so. Once again, our mailing address is Days of Harvest at this time, Ministries, Days of Harvest Ministries, 1202 Pinkerton Lane, Allen, Texas, 75002. Or you can reach us at 214-785-9064. That is again 214-785-9064. I was getting another one of our business numbers in there, but that's the main number you can reach us at. It's 214-785-9064. Amen. The important thing that we feel right now is that we've been communicating and elaborating with some of the pastors and the leaders around the country, and we want to be able to, you know, my desire is that the body of Christ will continue to come together and we will aid one another in what I know is to utilize the power of God in every area, not just through media, but also through a physical contact with people wherever we are, whatever we're doing. I know that the things are not as the same as they used to be when we could reach out and touch people as we did in the days of old. And I know that people still do canvas and go out and do physical ministry. That has its place. But what we would like to do also is to be able to touch communities. One of the things that moved me the most when I was in Dothan, Alabama, and what we're working on at this very moment as well, is to do something for, and I don't know if you've heard me, I think I mentioned this on one podcast and broadcast a while back before we entered that area, is to be able to reach out. One of the devastating statistics that was given to our ministry before we actually entered into the city, and it really touched my heart greatly, and I was shaken by it, was the fact that the ministry itself there in Dothan, Alabama, was surrounded by, and I'm speaking of Alabama Avenue Baptist Church and the community at large there. The startling statistic that we received was that there were actually, in that small city, which I believe the population is somewhere 65,000 to 70,000 people, and also the area with itself, that's the city, the county, was somewhere in houses of that population was close to 200,000, a small city, surrounding areas and county within itself. Small area as known to some of the metroplex and some of the larger cities that we live in. But the bottom line is that in that area alone, there were 900 single-parent homes. Most of these single parents were women. I don't think it was only a small percentage that might have been, as a matter of fact, I know it was only a small percentage that might have been men with the children. The rest were ladies. And it touched my heart. So, I mean, you'd have to understand, before I got there, the Lord began to show me in dreams and visions some of the things that we were encountering, just as that the Lord had showed me through dreams and visions, we actually did encounter exactly what, not that I wouldn't be surprised that we wouldn't, but some of the major things that God showed us. Excuse me. Through dreams and visions, were some of the things we encountered while we were there. And one of those things was looking at that very situation, the seemingly hopelessness of the single parent dilemma with mothers raising children without any help from a male figure. And I'm not talking about being out of the will of God in terms of people committing immorality. I'm not speaking about that, and I want you to understand that I'm not endorsing that people live together without marriage, or either am I trying to advocate when I say a male figure. I'm speaking of men honoring their responsibility of bringing children into this world, the men and the women, of course, and the men not at this point being responsible to help the lady or the young woman or the person take care of the child and not leave the burden of the responsibility on the state as of such. And that's what I mean. I'm speaking of that, and my heart went out to those young ladies and to some of the single guys that whatever the situation was presented, how the situation came about, you'd have to understand that we were totally surprised of the number of, for that small area, the number of single parents that were in that particular city within itself. And most of these people were, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, this is not a, I don't want to make this sound like it's a put down or a the word that I want to use here is to degrade anybody in the respect of their condition. But the actual people who are suffering mostly, and I'll say mostly from this, are people who are in the lower income areas. And you know that for a fact, that most of the time we have situations, and I'm not saying that everybody is in a low income area or in a low income situation. We have a lot of single parents who are in other classes of income, but for the most part, the people are in a low income area. And you know that when that happens, you have all types of situations that take place. And so with that being said, my heart went out to them. So we're working on some things for that area in terms of reaching out to those young ladies and to the single-parent neighborhood to bring about a change. We don't desire. Our desire is not to see that particular cycle. And I know that it seems to be a large assignment dealing with 900 single-parent families. And I said to the Lord, what can we do to bring about a change? Because that particular area that we were in during that particular meeting, we were there when we first got there. And we, as a matter of fact, I want you to know a little bit about who I am. As a matter of fact, I lived with those people in that area. I could have lived anywhere else in the city during the time that we first initiated ministry back there in 1986, and we lived among those people because our heart was to touch them and to let them know that we felt what they felt, and to let them know that we were not just there to give them a handout or to just say that we were reaching out to them to help them to become better, but also that they could come out of that. And so I want you to get a feel of that, because sometimes we reach out to people with a long arm, as of such, excuse me, and we say that we really have compassion, that we feel them. But until you actually live around people like that, until you live with them, that's what most missionaries do when they go to other countries. They live with the people that they minister to. And I think we need to take that same approach somewhat. Some ministries do. I'm not saying it all don't. But some ministries go right into the neighborhoods where the people are and live with them and reach out to touch them so that the people will know that they're not just detached from them, but they are also there to be a part of what's going on with them, not to become that, but to let the people know that they actually have a heart for who they are and what they're going through, and that they are and can be delivered from that particular situation, those who desire to. And so, you know, actually, you know, I believe that God has called us to make a change, and that's one of the areas in which we have set our sights to minister in that area where we just left. Along those lines, to set up programs and to set up avenues for those single parents, excuse me, to be lifted to a lift or raised to another level. And you know, it is a mandate with us to do that. It is important that we follow through that. So many things are changing in our society, laws, insurances. And I believe that it is a responsibility not just on the state, but also the community at large, as well as the church, to take place and to reach out and to touch our communities in a way that we can show, not just saying that we're there in the community, but we're actually, and please don't misunderstand me, we're making a difference there. And I'm not saying that their ministries are not making a difference, but I believe that we should be, I believe that we need to move in the vein of being more impactful, so that the people can visibly see our position and our place in whatever community we're in. And I just want to encourage ministries and people, leaders, pastors, churches, wherever you are today. I mean, don't misunderstand me. We're not saying that you're not making an impact. We're not saying that you don't have a place. But for the most part, what we are saying is, let's become more visible, and let's become more vital to the areas in which God has planted us, and let's do whatever we can do with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and all the compassion that's on the inside of us to be what Jesus said. Be the light. Be that city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. And to be the salt to a tasteless and to a bland generation. Let's be that today. That's what our call is. I believe that. And let's not just say that we're doing things, but let's also be that. Let's show that not just through word, but in deed. Indeed, in what we do as we reach out to them, and also in power and demonstration as we impart the power of God to these hurting people, and to the in our own country, not just afar, not just across the waters, not across over the land and the continent, but and touching other continents. Let's touch people right here in our own back door, in our own house, in our own country, in our own cities, in our own neighborhood. Let's be the church. Let's do what God has, the Lord Jesus has assigned us to do. And with that in mind, those of you who are able, who have the means in which to help bring these type of things to pass, those of you who've been endowed and blessed by the Creator to make money and to have money, to extra monies to. And don't misunderstand me now. I don't want you to think that we, even in the vein of saying that the funding that is being used is to for the upbuilding of the kingdom, I want you to understand that it's for the building of people. You know, God told us, you know, so many times we are in a hurry to build buildings, but God told us to build people, because people are the church. The building is just a structure, a physical structure that's there to house the people, but the actual structure that the Lord is in, excuse me, enabling us to help or to build the people themselves. Is a Book of Corinthians, I believe, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when Jesus, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, addresses the Corinthian church and says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, around that chapter, around that verse. And he was in expounding upon that and sharing with them that they are the temple of the Lord, and that they are the ones that the Lord is in, that is in, beholden to, and that he has given him his life for. He said, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Excuse me, which God dwells. So, with that being said, when we talk about funds and when we talk about the helping of dealing with the raising of money to bring things to, different, to make a difference in the earth and help, we're talking about helping people. We're talking about the building of people. We're talking about making things better for people. And don't misunderstand, man. No, we can't. We got to show people love on every platform. Not only are we going to show them signs and wonders and miracles, but we've also need to show them that we care some type of way by aiding them in their time of poverty. And I know that Jesus said, "The poor we have with us always." But it is our responsibility to help bring these people to another level, to educate them and to help them to understand that they don't have to live in these conditions, and that they don't have to remain there to be a burden to the state or to be a burden as of such to the city in which they live. But they can be removed from that, and that they can come to another level of life. And that's our heart's desire, that we move out to teach them and to share with them and to present to them a better way, a new way, so that they can also change the environment that they live in, and there will not be a continual cycle, a repetitiveness of poverty and repetitiveness of the immoral things that come with it, but that they can actually see and receive the deliverance that the Lord has to present to them through us, the body of Christ. So that's our heart today. That's what we're working on. That is one of the phases of the things that we're working on, touching the people that are around us, making life better for them, making life better. And I took all the time today on this podcast to say those things. And I want to be as clear as possible about that in the days to come. What we'll do is we will begin to give you a lot of more information on the things that we are doing concerning a picture and also the vision that we have about making things better for the people that are around us and the people who we believe that have been assigned for us to help. And we have been given the mandate by the Spirit of the Lord that we have people to serve. And that was Jesus' greatest mission in the earth. He served us. As I come to the conclusion of this broadcast today, when the disciples were confronted by him, and you know the story, as Peter the Apostle, when they questioned him as he came into the room with a towel girded around his waste. And they questioned and said, Lord, what are you doing? And he said to them, I've come today to wash your feet. And they looked at him and said, Lord, Peter especially, said, Lord, you don't have to wash my feet because we know that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, and it is not necessary for you. You are a leader. You're the one who's been guiding us and showing us the way of the kingdom. You're Jesus himself. You're the Messiah. You're Yeshua. You're the one true God. You are the creator of the ends of the earth. You come to wash our feet. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, Simon Peter, if I don't wash your feet, he said, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said in John's Gospel, in Luke's account of the Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 9, he said, Lord, don't wash my hands, my feet only, but my hand, my feet, my hands and my feet. And, you know, it is so important that we understand the mission of Christ. It was to serve. He was here to serve mankind. He was here to serve us without restraint. He was here to help us to become better and to move out of the dilemma that we were in. And so it's the same. We want to be able to do what he did in those days. We want to be able to impart to the people along the same lines the things that Jesus did. And we want to be able to see. John chapter 13, verse 9, and Peter said, when Jesus had said to him, that thou have no part with me, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith, and ye are clean, but not all. And he was talking about Judas, who would betray him. In the next verse he says, for he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. What he was saying was, you know, it is my mission to serve you. And so it is our job to serve the body of Christ and to impart to the body of Christ everything that we can as to show the love of Christ, to show Jesus, to show the anointing, the anointed one is his anointing, through whatever means necessary to make our communities, our workplace, our families, our environment, churches, whatever, a better and a greater place. As we pray, let's pray today. Father, we thank you for this time of being able to share what I believe you laid on our hearts to impart to the people, and what you're doing in the former days of Harvest Ministries and now His Report International, what you're doing in and through us. Let it be a beacon light to those who have been assigned to us to help. And remember all of those who will come alongside to help us and those who will help us in the days to come, that you will give us greater insight and greater vision on how to serve your people, the body of Christ, and those who are lost. Give us the power to do it and the grace to perform it and carry it out to finish it in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed with that said, amen. And we'll see you next week on another podcast. God bless you is our prayer.